Morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Another week of share from afar. Today's share we entitled Under the New Style of Chuppah, Celebrating Simchas in the New Normal. And particularly, we're going to talk today about weddings. After all, this coming week, Lag BaOmer is fastly approaching. And Lag BaOmer always is a day which a lot of simcha in general, but in particular, there usually are weddings on Lag BaOmer. Just the way the calendar and the minhagim fall out, people don't get married from Rosh Chodesh Iyar through beginning of the year, through no matter what minhag one is keeping, that's a free day, and people usually get married. People usually get married on the day of Lag BaOmer. Sometimes, in extenuating circumstances, people sometimes get married the night of Lag BaOmer, which is more of a halachic potential issue. It's really mixas yom kikulo. The simcha doesn't really start till the next morning. The idea of bands and music and all that really is. Should be in the morning of Lag BaOmer, not necessarily the night. But in challenging circumstances, people sometimes get married the night. Recently, in the Olam HaYeshivas, there have been weddings post Lag BaOmer, before Shavuos. Again, also a touchy, tricky area to make weddings. There are people that are keeping Svira then, but and there never was the minute for people to get married then. But being the fact, our Baruch Hashem. It's a growing Jewish community, and the availability of dates to get married was limited, so even that got pushed up, and there were weddings post-Lag BaOmer in some communities. Now, obviously, during this current pandemic, it has been a challenge to make weddings. Nevertheless, you try not to push off a wedding, multiple reasons, and weddings have been going on. They've been going on since the beginning of this pandemic in all different forms and fashions. I've witnessed quite a few. I don't mean that I was an actual witness. I was at a wedding, but it was before the pandemic started. That's the last time I was able to travel up north. But once the pandemic started, I guess I witnessed a lot of weddings over Zoom. And you see that people were doing whatever they could to make a wedding happen. If it meant getting married in your backyard, so be it. Driveways, whatever there was a circumstance which could safely be a venue for having a wedding, people were doing that. And really, the most challenging factor, you know, with weddings, you know, the kal can still wear a dress, chassan can still wear, well, chassanim always wear just a plain black suit, maybe a nice white, light tie. But for the most part, chassan and kala, they were the same. The difference was usually in the venue, where it was, but really that was driven by one basic factor, crowd size. Usually we've grown accustomed that Jewish weddings are huge events. Really the events that people try to make them by themselves, but many times nowadays you have party planners. The coordination to pull off a Jewish wedding is quite an undertaking. Baruch Hashem, there are very talented people in Klal Yisrael. Every good Jewish mother could handle such things, but it's a very, very big undertaking to choreograph every step of a wedding, and they've become really big, big events. Obviously, with the pandemic and being the fact that people can't be together, especially people who are not living in the same house, people not relatives. It's very, very dangerous with having crowds. So weddings have shrunk tremendously, and especially as the pandemic and the restrictions tightened, those weddings you saw over the season got smaller and smaller of people, live people actually being there. And that had a domino effect. If you're not going to have people at a wedding, not going to be so many guests, then the wedding halls can't afford to host such an event. These big wedding halls, which normally host hundreds and hundreds of people, they can't pull it off, you know, having your 10, 20, whatever, spread out family members, immediate family at a wedding. It financially doesn't work. And so thus, you have no halls, you have no big crowds, and that dramatically affects the whole wedding industry. And now, we're really, the questions in all different communities and societies, when will things get back to normal? Doesn't seem like it's getting back to normal so quickly. Both the Aguda and the OU, just before Shabbos, issued guidelines. You read through them, it's quite sombering. You know, they lay out this phase and that phase, all with the discussions of medical experts and government officials. For the immediate future, what we'll be discussing today, a skeletal crew, a very, very small wedding, is what we're simply going to have to get used to over the next few months. To have any ideas that we're going to have hundreds of people and things are just going to go back to normal is really not practical in the current situation. And really seizing on this idea, a very interesting thing that quite a few Gedolim, Rabbanim from the New York community bound together, and they got the support of other Gedolim. They initiated a wedding takana, which they view could be a source of a schus to help. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring things upon us for nothing. You know, if this is happening, this pandemic is happening, you can't just view it, okay, it's happening to the world, it's happening to the Jewish people too. And two, we view really everything in the world is a message for us. What exactly the message is, it's very not simple. But Rabbanim have noticed, and really community have noticed, that our weddings have gotten a little out of hand, a little over the top. I could say other celebrations too, bar mitzvahs, others. And they launched a takana for whenever this pandemic starts, and we even have the ability to go back to what we previously did. But we shouldn't go exactly there. And they talked about limiting the amount of people at a wedding, only inviting for the meal family and a group of friends of the Chasan and Kala, but that's it. And friends and neighbors and all people that we have connections to, invite them to come later for dancing, but not to have a formal meal for so, so many people. This is the takana that has been pushed by Gedolim, as well as signed on to by hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And the pressure just of financially of making a wedding, it's a tremendous, wonderful thing to scale things back. And really, that's if that would be some takeaway from this tragic pandemic, that would be a very positive step in the right direction. But today's shiur, particularly, what we want to talk about is a concept of how many people do you need for a wedding? If we're forced, if we have a challenging situation, look, we need to make weddings. Life has to go on. People aren't getting younger. And Baruch Hashem, a person finds his zivug. The correct Das Torah is not to wait months and months till who knows when this will end. No. Person try to get married, you know, in as normal a timetable as we've previously done. And that would entail having a wedding under these circumstances. So what should one do? What is the minimum amount of people that you need there for a wedding? So I would like to go through, begin with a Gemara in Ksubis, which puts down an important principle. Now, obviously, you know, the minimum, we do know that you need to have the chasan, the kala. You need to have those two. You need a masadar kedushin. It's three. Now, I guess in the secular world, look, you could elope. Just go to Vegas, find a rabbi, bride and groom, that's it. Get married. But in the Torah, you need more than that. You also need to have two kosher edim. So really, technically speaking, assuming the Masada Kedushin in no way is related to the Chasan and Kala, you could have the Masada Kedushin also act as an aid together with another aid. So you could have four people, but you still need more. And we'll talk about it and see, potentially, the whole topic, why you need more than just the Chasan and Kala and two edim. So the Gemara in Ksubis, this is on Daf Zainam Beis. The Gemara states, Gufa Amar Rav Nachman Amul Ihuna Bar Nosson. Rav Nachman states, he heard this from Ihuna Bar Nosson, Tana Minayin L'Birchas Chasanim Basar. Where do we know that Birchas Chasanim, the blessing of grooms, and Rashi over there says it's referring to Birchas Nisuin, Sheva Brachos. Right? The wonderful Sheva Brachos that one says under the chuppah. Where do we know that you need to have 10 for that? So the Gemara is already putting out that you need to have 10 people to say Birchas Chasanim. So Nemar, the Pasuk says, Vayikach Asara Noshim Yiziknei Heir Vayomu Shavupo. This is a Pasuk by in the Megillas Rus, which is coming up very soon, where Boaz took 10 men and said, stay here, I'm going to need you for this. And that was, of course, going to be the wedding, eventually, of Rus. Rabbi Avo Amar Mehacha. Rabbi Avo says, no, there's a different source. And he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, Makilos Baruch Elokim Hashem Mekor Yisrael. With congregations, we thank Hashem, we bless Hashem. Hashem is the source of Klal Yisrael. And from here, Rabbi Avoh says, we learn out that Birchas Chasanim, that Sheva Brachos, needs to have 10 people. So it comes out, the Gemara then goes back and forth between the two Amarayim, fighting about their drashas. But either way, the Gemara concludes, you need to have 10 people. There's a machlokes, whether the source of that is as pasuk by Boaz in Megillas Rus, or by the pasuk in Tehillah. Interestingly, Tosos over there asked, we find the pasuk in Chumash, the pasuk in Rus, pasuk in Tehillim. We have a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk says, Vayikach, Vayivarchu etz Rivka, that before Rivka left her family, they gave all brachos. And over there too, seems that we find there were 10 people there. So why are we struggling to find psukim in Rus, in Tehillim? Why don't we just use a pasuk in the Torah? And Tosas answers that by Rivka, that bracha was what we call Birchas Erusin. There wasn't Birchas Nisuin. Ayin Shalman Tosas. So, really, what you see from the Gemara with Tosas is there's really two things that ideally, we'll see, need a minyan. Firstly, the Sheva Brachos need a minyan. That's what the Gemara Beferis is talking about. The Tosa says it also applies to Birchas Erusin, the bracha that one makes at the beginning of the ceremony. That bracha also needs a minyan. Now it's interesting, there's another Gemara later. These 10 people you need, does the chasen count? Do you need to have 10 people besides the chasen? Or dafka? Or no? You could have the chasen count, you just need 9 others. Normally when you see that Gemara, you're like, hey, what do we need? You know, come on, like, being so cheap, you know, only having 9 other people? Come on. Weddings are usually big. But in circumstances like this, counting out who your 10 people are is very tricky. And chasanim and aminyan, the Gemara says, yeah, that a chasan counts. Now with that, now, doesn't mean to point out, when we talk over here about Berchas Chasanim, which is Berchas Asuin, what I call the Shavar Brachos, what the Gemara here is talking about the actual marriage, but really these halachas also apply to Shavar Brachos during the week. If you would have a Suda together, so in order to say Shavar Brachos, you need 10 people. Again, Chasanim and Minyan, that works. But you need to have 10 people in order to have Shavar Brachos. So really, these halachas apply both to the chuppah and to seudos. Now we mentioned, Gemara later says that the chasan counts for the minyan. It's a very interesting question. I actually have it here on the sheets. The Prisha, in his commentary on the Torah Shulchan Aruch, asks, hey, if we hold that chasanim count for a minyan, so what's pshat by Boaz? The pasuk says he took 10 people, but he was there too. Why do you need to take 10? According to the way we're explaining it, he only needs 9, because chasanim and a minyan. That is a question that the preacher asks. And perhaps by the end of Shir today, we'll come to answer that question. Harvey, I forgot to give a thank you to you earlier. You know, we have this theme of a wedding, so Harvey decided today to bring in mints. I'm going to sit through a chuppah, sit through a Shir, a bal chuppah. A mint would be a perfect thing. So thank you very much, Harvey. So this is the basic background you see from this Gemara, that you really need 9 other people other than the chasam and kala, other than the chasam. Asara nashim, you need 10 men, but the chasam would count for the minyan. So when we're going back to our skeleton crew that we're having here, so you need what? Chasan, we already said you need to have 2 Edom. One of those Edom could also function as a Masada Kedushin. I guess the Chasan, these Edom would also count towards your minyan. But Pashas that means you still need 7 other people. Now, we'll go through Shulchan Aruch, how it deals with that, and we'll see what might be needed. Shulchan Aruch brings this Gemara Lahalacha. This is Evan Ozer, Simon Samach Beis. I'll read to you the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef. He writes, Eim Avarchim Berchas Chasanim El Abasara. You could only make Berchas Chasanim only with 10 people. They have to be Gedolim. Kids do not count. B'nei Chorin, they have to be free men. The chasim in a minyan, the chasim does count towards the minyan. Being k'shomer also b'shas nisuin, whether one is saying it during the wedding, being k'shomer also achas berachas hamazon, or whether it's during the suda, the one is saying it. Aval k'she'ina omrim achas berachas hamazon, al berachas hashabara, ina tzarech hasara. Shulchan Aruch does point out, if for the bracha of Ashebara, the last of the Shabbat brachas, for that particular bracha, you don't need a minyan. The Ramah adds, in Mekol Malkom, Shlosha Be'inan, you do need to have a mezuman of three people. So it's interesting. People, it's a good Shabbat brachas halacha, that even in a scenario where you don't have a minyan for Shabbat brachas, but as long as you have a mezuman, as long as you have three people, so then one could recite Ashabara. You just make that bracha at the end of benching. This only applies that you can recite Ashabara without a minyan, only to benching. We'll see soon, by the brachas under the chuppah, those are all, they're the Shabbat brachas, we don't split up. They all go together. So if you have a minyan, simply it seems that it works. If you don't have a minyan, it seems that it does not work. Now, the Mefarshim here in the Shulchan Aruch bring, there's a Rashba, which says that if one does not have a minyan in the place where they're going to be, scheduled to be to host the wedding, then they should not get married there. If you can't gather together a minyan over here, you got to move the wedding. And that's very big. According to the Rashba, we're in trouble, simply. Because, hey, if we have circumstances which, based on the current laws, that we can't get married with crowd of people, you can't have your minyan. So the Rashba says that you have to move it. I know of a situation, you know, people were planning to do a wedding in Lakewood, New Jersey, and there were some issues it was tricky, different levels of government. Local officials said it was fine, but state health issues said maybe not. And it was very confusing what the directives were. You know, we're dealing here with, you know, a very fluid situation, and many times the guidance wasn't there. It wasn't clear what to do. And although some people were making weddings, maybe even some clandestinely, quietly, you know, we're making weddings, different spots. I know of a person, they found a hall somewhere in Pennsylvania, and for a small crowd, and they moved destination wedding. Here we go. We're moving to Pennsylvania, like the day of the wedding. That's where we're going to have to do the wedding. Okay, right? So Mekayim this Rashba. That's what the Rashba would say, that if you can't get a minyan in another place, in one place, go to a different place. We know we might be called the United States of America, but definitely what's going on now, each individual state doing their own thing. You know, it's both based on the metzias on the ground, that different communities, different states have been hit with this pandemic on different levels, but also the different people operating the government and different mindsets. And look, if it doesn't work in one place, the Rashba says, okay, so you move the wedding. Now you have a destination wedding. However, there are many that argue with the Rashba, the first one bringing down, and they would write the following, that one would get married, you don't have to go as far as moving the wedding, that's not an obligation upon a person in order to recite this Berchas Kasanim, the Shavah Brachas with the minyan, you do not have to move the wedding. Rather, what one would do is get married without reciting Shavah Brachas. And such an idea does sound sacrilegious. Like, what is a wedding if you don't have Shabbat brachas? But I know for a fact, I spoke to Sadra Kedushin, people involved in Poskim, involved in this situation, and there were cases where they were very much contemplating going through with weddings without a minyan, to which you would therefore not be able to recite Shavuot Brachos. Halacha l'maaseh, the Poskim will go with this shita, that not like the Rashba, that one would be allowed to get married without Shavuot Brachos. And look, if a person over the week would have a suda with 10 people, at that point they would recite Shavuot Brachos. But at the chasna itself, if one doesn't have Shavuot Brachos, it's not ma'akif. Interesting, one would be able to recite the Birchas Eris in the Nisuin. Because there, your hate of bringing up the Farish over here, there, that din that you need a minion for the Birchas Erisin, that's only l'chachila. That's for sure, l'kol yam. So therefore, one would recite Birchas Erisin even without a minion, but the Shavuot Brachos you wouldn't. So what that would look like, I guess in such a scenario, you have a chasan and kala, you could do the Birchas Erisin like normal, you could have a ring, right? And say a ring 100%. Two Adim, Makudash, Makudash. That's the minimum. For sure, you would need Chasan, Kala, two Adim. That's the absolute minimum. But Birchas Erisin, that you would recite. But the Shavuot Brachos, one would not. Baruch Hashem. I did hear that even the scenarios that they were contemplating doing without a minion, they were able to pull off safely having a minion. You know, what I saw by these weddings, I mean, it was a sight to behold. To count for a minion, it just needs 10 men, you see, over bar mitzvah to be there. So if Baruch Hashem, if the chassan's father's there, Kala's father's there, and you have a few siblings who are there over bar mitzvah, then that's how you'd be able to scrap together a wedding. I've seen these weddings, the way they were running, the way these weddings are running, that they absolutely had a skeleton crew. I saw that you just had the immediate siblings of the chasan and kala, in many cases not all of them, but some of them, ones who were local, were able to be there with masks and everything. So they were there, social distancing. And you had a Masada Kedushin who acted also as an aide. So I'll just walk you through the wedding. Right, so you have the tnoyim, right? That's a document that once that signed for agreements between the two sides. Tnoyim, you have all you need to have by this wedding are two people not related to the chasan and kala. They serve as the edim on the tnoyim. You can have anyone read the tnoyim. Family can read it. It's not a problem. The ksuba, same two edim that were on the tnoim, you could use again on the ksuba. Signed again by the Masada Kedushin and the other person as an aid. The chuppah itself, you have the Masada Kedushin set everything up, he'll recite Birchas Erisin, watch over the scene. He will act as one of the two, the most important part, the Eidei Kedushin. So you have the Masada Kedushin with somebody else, not related to the Chasan and Kala. They would be the two Eidim for the Kedushin. And it'll also be the two Eidim for the Yichud. And in terms of the Shavuot Brachos, so if you have a minion there, technically, you could give out the Shavuot Brachos, But and I did see at some weddings they would give it out to whichever relatives, brothers, siblings you had there. I've seen other cases where basically the Masada Kedushin and other, just run through the brachas himself. You know, it was interesting. They weren't so keen on passing the cup, right? So the Masada Kedushin is holding the cup. So it's not ma'akev to be holding the cup when one makes the shavu brachos. So I saw weddings even where they allowed others to recite a bracha, it wouldn't be with the cup. The cup was only held by the Masada Kedushin. You know, it also helps. I saw by one of these weddings, one of the other people who was the second aide, it's also kedai if he has a good voice. He could sing on the chuppah too. A couple weddings which I watched happens to be besides the Masada Kedushin, the other person also had the talent of being a singer. So, but that's a skeleton crew. You got to do what you have to do. It's the absolute minimum to get through. You know, just as an aside, you know, Bez Hashem, we hope that they should be opening up shuls sometime, hopefully, you know, I wouldn't say the near future, but hopefully in the coming months. You know, some of them first start with outdoor minyanim, but when they eventually open up shuls, so the guidance given by the Aguda, by the OU, is you're going to have scenarios where basically one person is going to take care of everything with Kriyas HaTorah. That means one person would do, because every time you touch the Sefer Torah, there's potential for spreading germs. So no one would be allowed to kiss the Sefer Torah, touch the Sefer Torah. You'd have the Bal Kore do the following thing. He would do psicha, take out the Sefer Torah. He'd bring it to the Amud. He would lane, and there's an inyan obviously on Shabbos, of seven aliyahs. He himself would get seven aliyahs. No, he does not have to be a Kohen. You don't have a Kohen. No one can get an aliyah here. Interesting, do the Kohanim have to walk out? I don't know. Interesting question. But he gets all seven aliyahs, reads from the Torah by himself. He himself could perform Hagba and Galila. Right? It might have to be a little bit Sephardi style. Lift it up, put on the bima, then wrap it up. But that's the skeleton crew that we need for Kriyas HaTorah. So similarly, by these weddings, halacha l'maisa, what they're paskening is you need to have an absolute skeleton crew to get through these circumstances. A few more minutes, I would like to delve a little bit deeper into understanding the whole essence of this berachas nesu'in, these brachas, and I came across a very, very interesting machlokas. I gave you a minute to digest all those stories, but if you get invited to a wedding during this era, they can watch on Zoom. Watch it. It's quite fascinating what you're going to see. Please, anyone who has any good stories, you know, please tell me for a postscript to this year. I'd be very interested to see. Yeah, I know Adam's going to send me some videos, right? You can give me video evidence to the weddings. So, I'm going to take a break for a minute from talking about weddings. Let's talk about Berachas Agomo. Really, Berachas Agomo is something which is a very important bracha. It's a bracha that is stated, people say in many instances, the most somewhat benign is a person who travels by plane. You know, for Ashkenazim, that means traveling really overseas, but for Sephardim, really any trip on a plane. I believe that's what Rav Avadja held. But who I didn't, you obviously recite Berachas Agomo. If a person was in a life-challenging situation and Baruch Hashem survived it. His life was in jeopardy, and he survived it. One would recite Berachas Hagomel. It's probably not paskening for everybody, but it's probably the psak that one would get for a lot of people who've been sick, who recovered, people on ventilators, people, you know, people who were very, very sick, who b'chazdei Hashem survived. It probably is proper for people to recite Berachas Hagomel. And I'm not going through all the halachas now with Berachas Hagomel, but we'll see. One of the most basic is Berachas Hagomel needs a minyan. And okay, normally we recite it in shul, like Kriyas HaTorah. Obviously we don't have those situations. We can do that at the moment. But for Berachas Hagomel, I would like to talk about the minyan aspect. So how many people do you need for a minyan in Berachas Hagomel? So let's read the Shulchan Aruch. This is Aruch Chaim, Siman Reish Yud Tes. I'll start from the first halacha. Beis says, "Ma'amin Varech." What's the bracha of Berachas Hagomel? Baruch to Hashem, Elkeinu Malach Olam, Hagomel Achayavim Tovos Malani Kol Tov. You're thanking Hashem, the one who all good stems from, thanking Hashem that He bestowed some of that good upon you, that you went through a challenging situation and you emerged. So you're thanking Hashem for that tova. V'hashomim omrim, and those listening give back a bracha. Mi shegamolcho kol tov, hu yigamolcho kol tov sela. Hashem, who gave you tov, He should continue to give you tov as a bracha for the future. Right? Interesting, I just saw this week a great story. Some yeshiva bachar back in the day when American yeshiva bachar was traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and he happened to tell people, happened to mention that when he would go back every time to Eretz Yisrael, instead of taking the Sheirut, nowadays the train, right, from Ben Gurion straight to Yerushalayim, he would stop off, he would first go to Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak is actually not far from Tel Aviv. So he'd first go to Bnei Brak. Why would he dafka go to Bnei Brak? So he'd figure it out. He would go, I guess he would try to organize his flight for Mondays and Thursdays, but he would arrive in Eretz Yisrael. He would go daven shachris in Bnei Brak by the shul right next door. Literally, there's now a passageway, and I'm not sure where Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, would daven. Not sure he davens there on a daily basis. Maybe they have a minyan in his house, but definitely, the story goes back a few years, definitely would be there normally every day. And he would recite, being the fact that he just traveled, so after Kriyas HaTorah, he would recite Berachas Hagomel. Being the fact he recites that in Shul, so everyone in Shul, as the Shulchan Aruch just stated, would turn back, Mi shegamolcho kol tov, li gamolcho kol tov sala. Would recite back this bracha. This chacham, chapt, look, if I go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, wait in line, yeah, I'll get some generic bracha, bracha v'hatzlacha, or the acronym for that. But if I go and daven the same minyan as Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and I would say Berachas Hagomel, he's going to recite back this bracha. He says, that's a chashuv bracha to get. That bachur is a chacham. That's a smart idea. So Berachas Hagomel is a big deal and an important thing. The next halacha states, Tzarech Levarek Bracha Zu Bifnei Asara. You're supposed to make this bracha in front of 10 people. And they quote the pasuk, "Yirumimu b'kal alam." Fine. Mishnah Berurah over there on the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Bifnei Asara im bal hanes." When we say 10 people, you could count the bal hanes, the person benching the gomel, the recipient of this good, the recipient of a miracle. He counts for that bracha too. You only need 9 other people. Both said this is obviously very relevant. So nowadays we're trying to, you know, a person who comes out of the hospital perhaps to recite a Berachas HaGomel, you would not need 10 other people. According to the Mishnah Berurah, 9 others would suffice. And practically, this is Halacha. It's kind of possible in the Mishnah Berurah. I saw the Sephardic world, I saw that Rebbe Vajja, others also end up Paschim this way. Some talk about it, but they end up, I believe, Paschim this way too. What's a source? Why is it that you could count the Baal Hanes from the Minyan? So if you look at the Shaar Tzion, where the Chafetz Chaim brings his sources, he writes, this is on your sheets too, first wide line, he writes, near the Yesh L'Hakam. Even though there are poskim that argue, and say over here, by Berachas HaGomel, you cannot count the Baal Hanes as part of the Minyan. Here he says, near the Yesh L'Hakam, the Chafetz Chaim says, I think it could be Mekel. The Samach L'Davar, and the basis for this, the Kol Din Asara, this whole din of Asara, the Alfinam Yivramu B'Kal Am, that we learn out from this Pasuk, I believe in Tehillim, that Berachas HaGomel should be recited with 10 people. Im King, Kamo Berachas Chasanu, just like when it comes to Shavar Brachas, from a similar pasuk in Tehillim, pasuk that with a kahal is 10 people, we bless Hashem, quotes the Gemara in Tzubas. We know the chasanim count for the minyan by Shavar Brachas. The kol shekein bracha zu dekila, kol shekein by the bracha of Berachas HaGomel. According to some, Yod Niten, B'dieved. And yeah, he says also later, the Mechaber writes, we not only make this bracha after Kriyas HaTorah, and the Lashon the Mechaber uses, D'yesh Shama Sara, because there's 10 people, and the Mechaber doesn't make any chiluk if there are exactly 10 with him or without him. So Chafetz Chaim says, you know what? Just like by Sheva Brachos, over there the Chasim counts for the Minyan, so too over here. So Chafetz Chaim is comparing the halacha of Sheva Brachos, of Berachas Chasanim, having a Minyan over there, to the idea of a Minyan by Berachas HaGomel. And just like by Sheva Brachos there, we say the chasm counts. So too, by Berachas HaGomel, you can say the Balanes counts. That's what the Chafetz Chaim paskens. However, there's a piece brought in a few svarim, brought in, have on the sheets of a sefer from Rav Nissen Kaplan called Berachas Chasanim. So he brings from the Brisker Rav, the Grizz, that he argues on this piece from the Chafetz Chaim. And he doesn't understand the comparison the Chafetz Chaim is making. And very appropriately, the Brisker Rav says, to me, Berachas HaGomel and the Shavar Brachos are shtei din in the front of them. The two unconnected halachos. Why? He says, it might be true that Berachas HaGomel is a bracha that you're thanking Hashem for saving this person. But that's not shot by Shavar Brachos. The reason why you need 10 people by Shavar Brachos is a totally different reason. Totally different din. That's based on a din of a Dover Sheva Kedusha. Just like Kaddish and Kedusha. Any Dover Sheva Kedusha we know as part of our davening needs to have 10. That's the idea by a Kedushin, by a Chuppah. The Brachos that you're making have the din of a Davar Sheva Kedusha, and a Davar Sheva Kedusha needs to have 10 people. So therefore, the Griz makes the following split. I understand why the halacha is chasam in a minyan by Sheva Brachas. Because, just like any other Davar Sheva Kedusha, does the chasam count as one of the 10 people answering? The answer is yes, the chazan counts. When we talk about having a minyan, that's the chazan and nine other people. Right? There's no limitations on the minyan. You need to have 10 people there for davar sheva kedusha. So too, by a chasana, by a chuppah, by a shavar brachos, all you need is 10 people in total, and the chazan counts. But when we come to berachas hagomel, and what's the idea behind Berachas HaGomel? It's to thank Hashem, to express your thanks to Hashem for what He did for you. You're the Baal HaNes. So there, doesn't make sense, the Chas HaZmin HaMin, it's not Davar Sheva Kedusha. There, you should express that thanks to 10 other people. Berachas HaGomel is a thanksgiving blessing. You're performing that, you're reciting that in front of 10 people. So there, the chasan shouldn't count. The Baal HaNes, excuse me, should not count. Therefore, the Brisker Rav argued with this psak of the Chavetz Chaim. Now, it's very interesting. What's pshat in the Chavetz Chaim? What was the Chavetz Chaim thinking? Seems the Chavetz Chaim holds that you got it wrong. The reason behind Berachas Chasana, Sheva Brachos, is not that it's a Davar Sheva Kedusha. The reason why we recite Sheva Brachos under a chuppah is not just this is the ceremony that religious Jews have when they get married. It's not just a part of a religious ceremony. These are blessings of thanksgiving. Asher bara sasa v'simcha, yotzer ha'adam. All these brachos that we recite. Yes, I know. Asher yatzar. Yes. All these brachos that we recite are brachos of thanksgiving. They're brachos of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like Berachas HaGomel. In the Chavetz Chaim's world, there's no difference between Berachas HaGomel and Sheva Brachos. So of course, if by Sheva Brachos the chasam counts, so that means you don't need to express this in front of 10 people. The Gemara said, the Halacha stated, if you do it in front, chasam in a minyan means, look, the obligation to recite thanks is within 10 people, but you don't have to do it in front of 10 others. 9 would be sufficient. Azoy zakt, the Chavetz Chaim. So it comes out a pretty major philosophical, halachic, and we'll see in a moment, practical halachas based on this. But it seemingly comes out a major machlokas between the Chavetz Chaim and the Brisker Rav. How do we understand the essence, the nature of Sheva Brachos? Are those Sheva Brachos, the one that's reciting by a wedding, are those thanks, are those Hakaras HaTov, Berachos Shevach, for bringing us to this situation, Baruch Hashem, the new couple is getting married, it's a time of tremendous simcha, and we're expressing that simcha, we're expressing our thanks to Hashem. Similar, just the Berachas HaGomel, someone who survives a life-threatening situation, emerges thankful, and recites Berachas HaGomel. That's the idea behind Sheva Brachos too. Or do we say, no, Berachas HaGomel might be thanksgiving, that's for sure. But when it comes to Sheva Brachos, no, that's part of a ceremony. It's a ceremony when people get married. Ceremony, I guess, during the week too, by a suda. And it's not because of Shevach V'Hodat Hashem. It's a din of Davar Shebek Dusha, and by Davar Shebek Dusha, that's specifically over there. Only there do we say Chasam in a Minyan. That's what the Brisker Rav says. Interesting practical halachic nafkamina, and this also might be relevant in our situations. Right? You have a wedding, so we have our exact amount of people that we need for the wedding. Then we're in the middle of the chuppah. Right? What happens? So I'm standing there by my brother-in-law's chuppah, and my two-year-old kid starts screaming. Okay, you gotta take the kid out. So instinctively, my wife's family was getting married. So it's upon me. So I go and I run out of the room with the middle of the chuppah with the kid. Quiet him down. That normally happens by weddings, right? All the time. Someone has to go take this screaming, quiet, crying kid. Except now you have a problem. Buddy, no, I didn't realize, but you're the minion. We no longer have a minion. What should we do? So very interesting. So if the idea is like the Chafetz Chaim, okay? Look, it's Berachas Shavach. You need to have a minion. You don't have a minion. You're stuck. There's no minion. Even with the count the chosen, right? We're counting the chosen. But we don't have a minion anymore. So we're in trouble. You can't recite the Shavuot Brachos. You had a minion when you started the Chuppah. But right now, when you're about to write the Shavuot Brachos, or perhaps even in the middle, you don't have a minion anymore. You're stuck. However, there's a halacha by a Davar Shebek Dusha. What happens if you had a minion at the beginning of davening? Minion by Shmona Esrei, right? And, you know, the chazan took a little extra 30 seconds or chazar shachat, so some people have to book. And next thing you knew, you want to recite Kaddish after chazar shachat itself, and you don't have a minion anymore. So halacha is, as long as you have a rov minion, but if you had a minion before, even if people left after, you could still recite Kaddish. So it's like the Bukhara, according to the Brisker Rav's idea, comes out of Kula. That if people leave, one would be able to still recite the Shavuot Brachos because it has a din of a Davar Shebek Dusha. And interestingly enough, the Aruch HaShulchan paskens this halacha l'maisa. He says if you have 10 people for a Shavuot Brachos, you have a minion, but then within someone walks out, 100% one would be able to continue to recite the Shavuot Brachos. For the record, this answer, this is what I saw, Aruch HaShulchan does say at the Farish. I did see it bother me that another piece in the Aruch HaShulchan was mashma, that he didn't go like the Briz, mashma, he was going like the Chafetz Chaim. It sounds like a stira. I found that Rav Nissen Kaplan was bothered by it. But okay, didn't really have an answer, said the Yishuv Yashuv. Just one more thing I would like to quickly just answer up. According to this idea of the Griz, so what comes out that we say, Shavuot Brachos, that has the din of Devarim Shebek Dusha. Berachos HaGomel, that's Shtei Dinim, Berachos HaGomel, that's because of Shavuot. Interesting that one could say, so also Nissen Kaplan says this, it was an earlier Akhra on the Bechor Shor, they want to answer the original Kasha we led with from Prisha. Prisha asked, we're coming to Shavuot soon, why is it that Boaz and the Megillas Rus needed 10 other people? If we hold the Gemara says, look, Chasanim in a minion. Let's push out by Boaz. So perhaps one could say that this whole discussion, this machlokes between the Chafetz Chaim and the Brisker Rav, is specifically in the second answer of the Gemara that we originally recited, that Rabbi Avol says the source is Makahelos Baruch Hashem. What's a kahal? What's the idea of why you need a kahal? So there, the Chafetz Chaim writes, because it's comparable to Berachas Hagomo, and the Griz challenges that and says, no, you need the Kahal because of Davar Shemekdusha. But perhaps, according to the other answer in the Gemara, the answer by Boaz from his Pasuk, so there, maybe even the Griz would say, no, according to that answer, the Pasha's there, it's a Berachas Shevach. And if it's a Berachas Shevach, then you wouldn't say Chasam in a Minyan. The only reason why you say Chasam in a Minyan is if you say the Kahal is needed for Dvarim Shebekdusha. But if it's needed just for Berachas Shevach, then a Chasam wouldn't count for the Minyan. So even by Shevach Berachas, it could be there's a Tzad, according to one answer, according to the Brisker Rav, that one would need a minyan besides the chasam. Halacha l'maisa, you don't need to pass him this way. You could count the chasam, pashat. But either way, I think what we take away, I think, from this whole discussion is, you know, Baruch Hashem, our Jewish lives are going on despite all the challenges that we have in the pandemic. I just heard one of my chaverim speak about the whole situation the other day, and he gave a very good description. As Jews, we try not to just get by with circumstances we have. We try to live, and we try to utilize things to the utmost. We can't daven with a minyan if the daven in our homes. Many people are finding that being able to focus in their own homes, davening at your own pace, it's a beautiful thing. You can't go to shiurim, the world's open. Baruch Hashem, there are shiurim over the phone and shiurim on video, like we have right here, all over, and people are availing themselves of shiurim that they may never have ventured to involve themselves in this situation, rising to the occasion. And really, the whole idea, you know, pandemic or no pandemic, Jewish life goes on, people need to get married, and to celebrate a simcha, okay? You may not have as many people by the wedding as a normal wedding, but you know what? We cut to the chase. What's the essence of a Jewish wedding? It's not the band, it's not the big crowds of people, it's not all the shtick and the extra stuff, it's the simcha of the chasan and kala. And as long as we have 10 people, we can recite this Sheva Brachos, which, according to the Chafetz Chaim, is just a further expression of our thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bringing us to this moment. Not just thanks that everything we choreographed for the wedding event worked perfectly, but thanks that Baruch Hashem, look, this Chasam and Kara getting married, that's the essence. And it's very good and very healthy to turn back to what is our essence. And thank you very much for listening. Wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful week.